Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan here for today. I mean, what can I say? We have on the show the incredible, the amazing, the badass, the superstar, the legendary, the incredible, the one and only Emma. Emma, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, what better way to start up an epic weekend than to be chatting with someone as epic as this? You know what I mean?
Thank you.
There you go. Now, before we start, I do want to thank those who are tuning in. Also, on the description below, you're going to find all of Emma's social media. Let's follow her. You know, let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Emma. And now let's find out why she's a total super badass. Now, without further more, let's jump in here. So, I want to start this conversation by throwing out the first question, which is, what drew you into acting in the first place? You know, was there, I don't know, like a specific moment or experience in life that made you realize this is going to be my passion now?
Yeah. There was honestly a couple. I remember when I was like 3 or 4, my mom and I watched My Fair Lady with Audrey Hepburn in it, and I fell in love with her and her poise and elegance and the way she carried herself. That film is beautiful to me. I love the music, even though she didn't sing. I love every aspect of that film, and it made me realize, like I said to my mom, I want to do that. I want to be Audrey Hepburn one day. And then as time went on, I went to live theater, I went to musicals, and I remember I went to Wicked with her in Toronto, in Canada, and I was sitting there and I was watching Elphaba sing Defying Gravity, which is like an iconic moment for anyone that loves theater, musical theater, and I was like, oh my God, I have to do this. Like, I can't do anything else in my life. It has to be acting, has to be performing. And of course, like, I was the kind of kid that was like always dressing up, trying to put on shows for my family, filming myself. I did like the Olympics by myself, where I was like the host, the performer, the athletes, the judges. And I was an only child, so I was a little crazy, but yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's epic. And did you want any medal or?
Yeah, I won everything.
There you go. That's the spirit. And tell me, so time went by, but what were some of the challenges that you first had when you were when you were like making it into a pro career, let's say?
I still have challenges now. I grew up in a small town. I didn't grow up in Toronto, so there wasn't really access to film or television, you know, resources or auditions. Like, my parents really couldn't afford to drive me. But, you know, they had their own businesses. They couldn't drive me to like an audition every day. But I did all of the live theater that I possibly could in my community. We had a really amazing community theater. So I did musical after musical after musical, play after play after play. In high school, I did a bunch of stuff. But it was challenging because, again, there wasn't really a huge push for theater or acting in my high school. I was really the only person that wanted to do it, with the exception of a few other wonderful people. So that was definitely challenging. And I went to university for theater as well. But it was a challenge because I've always wanted to do film and TV, and I never knew how to start. And there wasn't really a lot of resources for, well, other than speaking to people, how to get into the industry in Canada. In the US, I mean, there's so many resources, but I didn't know anybody really in it. I wasn't super aware of where to start. And so that was a really big challenge. And when I moved to Toronto, and now I'm in Toronto, it's still a challenge because, I mean, it's a challenge to be an actor auditioning constantly. Yeah. The constant rejection is a challenge for sure. You have to have really tough skin. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
There you go. I love it. Yeah. And you know, it's awesome that even to that right now, I mean, it's a little bit right, but that productions are starting to look into other countries and not focusing everything on the US, you know, which is, I think, is cool because it gives the opportunity to local talent to kind of show themselves and be like, hey, I can do acting too, and I can do it cool too.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's another challenge actually that I've been facing right now, is I would love nothing more than to move to LA and act. I mean, I like warm weather. I like their climate a lot. Like, I'd move there in a heartbeat, but you have to have an O-1 visa. And to obtain an O-1 visa as a Canadian, you have to be somewhat notable. Like, you have to be somewhat famous. Like, if someone Googles your name, you have to show up right away, like with that little, you know, on Google, the little side piece with like the picture and the information. Like, they really do want someone that's already successful in their own country to get that visa. And it's a challenge, and it's expensive to apply for that visa. It's a long, long
No,
process. So it's a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. But I tell you what, we're gonna make you famous on this interview, so count on it. So
Thank you.
one visa, here we go.
Yes.
All right. And now moving on here a little bit, tell me, how do you approach getting into the mindset of the character? I mean, do you have a like in a specific technique or something?
Yeah, I have a couple things that I typically do. I really like making playlists for characters
Okay.
because I feel through music a lot. I feel emotion through music a lot. I get emotional from music a lot, so I find it very easy to say I have a character in a scene that's, I don't know, going through a really difficult time or very challenging time, depressed, you know, anxious, all that. I can make a playlist that I really puts me in that mindset, which really helps me emanate those emotions. But in general, through the schooling and the teaching and the courses that I've done in Toronto, I've worked a lot at LB Acting Studio, which is a studio in Toronto. And their philosophy is that in order to get into the mindset of a character, you really just have to use your own thoughts, emotions, feelings, experiences, not to traumatize yourself, but experiences that you've had to sort of emanate that character, that mindset. And it's what works for me. I can really just sort of, you know, let's say someone is, I don't know, pregnant. I've never been pregnant before, right? But there's different emotions that you're going through while you're pregnant. You're maybe really euphoric and happy one day and kind of lower on another day, or you're going through like these mood changes. And there's been times in my life where I've had those emotions. So I can just, you know, use those emotions and pretend that maybe I'm not pregnant, but that I know that mindset. And so that really helps me. Yeah.
Is there like a particular genre or type of character that you haven't portrayed yet, but you will love to explore that in the near future?
Yeah, definitely. So I think definitely to play a kind of villain character would be amazing. I played one kind of when I was like much younger, but I really think there's something interesting about playing that kind of character because you have to learn how to empathize with them. And you know, anytime you play a character that's so complex, that has so many layers, that is angry or hateful towards a person or a place or a system or a group of people or whatever, you kind of have to find a way that you can justify why they are the way that they are to really play it truthfully. And I find that super fascinating. I think it makes you better at empathizing with people in general. And I mean, not that everyone necessarily deserves to have their actions justified or to be understood. You know, you as an actor have an obligation and a responsibility to play that character as they see themselves, which is likely not a horrible person. You know, they've rationalize why they are behaving the way that they are. And so you have to, in turn, also be able to do that. So I think to play a character that is so complex like that would be like super fun and very fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And yeah, it's incredible. Like whenever they will tell like a story about a villain, and I mean sometimes it's easy for us to judge it because we haven't like lived what they have done. So I love when when in a film or a TV show or even in a play, they will portray this villain, but along the story you get the chance to, I wouldn't say like feel relatable because that sounds horrible,
No,
but
but I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's some sort of like certain parts in which you're like, interesting. The other day I was having this conversation with some friends of mine that, for example, like what if, what if, I don't know, for example, if someone killed your dog, of course of course that you are gonna react kind of the same way somehow. You know what I mean? So I love when they get the chance to like to portray that villain, but they give me like a little bit of like a little bit of story to it instead of
Yes.
sometimes they will play the villain and be like, why is the villain?
They just are. I hate that too. Yeah, not for me. Yeah. Well, because that's not humans, right? Like we as humans, we react based on things that have happened to us. We're not just like, very rarely, I would say, are we just bad. You know what I mean? It's like there's usually a reason. And I think, especially when you're playing, most characters are written, if it's good writing, with a reason. And it's fun to dive into that and sort of show that pain or whatever it is that's, you know, causing that behavior.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Because at least to me, it makes me wonder, like, what if, someone who is dealing through a bad time, sometimes all
Yeah.
they want, sometimes a little bit of help can actually help them to put them back in the proper way and not,
Yes.
you know, and not getting into this crazy path, you know, and causing harm, you know, and things like that. So yeah, I do appreciate in a story when they portray a villain, but they go like more into the whole human side, because as you mentioned, I mean, when we watch something, we want that human touch, you know, so.
Absolutely. That's what makes it enjoyable. That's what makes it like real, you know?
Totally,
So.
totally. Now, have you ever had a significant role, you know, that made an impact on you? And if it is, was it personally? And did that affected you somehow at some point?
Yeah, it wasn't so much the character. It's the same character that I was just talking about, where I played someone that's I played like a ghost-like entity, like a supernatural character,
Okay.
that murdered girls my age because I was killed, out of, you know, spite and revenge for having been bullied and having been killed. So then I did, like you were saying with the dog, I was doing the same thing that was done to me. And that was definitely a challenging character to play because I was very young and it was my first lead role that I had ever gotten. So in that sense, yeah, that was like life-changing because I realized that A, I was like capable of doing what I wanted to do, but also like it gave me, I guess, hope almost that like it was possible. Like I got something, I got something big, and I'm getting this responsibility now of like memorizing all these lines and creating a character and bringing this character to life. And it was life-changing because it did just like solidify to me that like I can do this. Like I got this. I can be an actor.
All right. And how you handled, you know, the whole pressure and expectations when you are about to play a character, either, you know, either in front of the camera or on stage, like how you handle that little bug that is kind of haunting you a little bit.
On stage, I've been on stage so much that there's not really a lot of anxiety, but I will say there's something to be said about the lighting in on a
Okay.
stage. You can't see anyone in the audience. It's like because the lights are so bright, you can't see anybody. So I just tell myself there's no one there. And then a lot of that stress goes away. I think for camera, it's a bit different. I definitely feel that little jitter, like that, you know, there's so many people watching so close and every little movement and every little sound that comes out, you know. And there's so many people around you. So for that, I would say it's hard. It's a mental game, really. You just have to kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit blunt, but like toughen yourself a bit to just like push through and like do it. And once you start acting, at least for me, like, I don't know, everything else goes away. Like I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about who I am. I'm in the scene. I'm trying to be as present as possible. And obviously that doesn't always happen, but you know, I try for that. And I think that if you are really in the scene and you're really just focusing on your character, on your relationship, on what's happening, the action of it, whatever it may be, then, you know, all that other stuff just becomes background noise. Maybe the beginning's a little bit uneasy, but then, you know, those jitters kind of just vanish and you're in the scene.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's an incredible feeling, right? Because when you like once you stop, you're at home on your PJs watching something, and you're like, "Huh? Like, you know, like a couple of hours ago, I was doing this and that, and now I'm just relaxing now." You know what I mean? Like that feeling, it's also kind of it's scary, but also it's exciting, right?
It's very euphoric for me personally. Like that feeling that I get is like it's an adrenaline rush. When I come off stage, especially, I feel like I'm high. Like I'm like, oh my God, like we just did this amazing thing together and it was beautiful and fun and messy and wonderful and all these people laughed or cried or whatever. And it's like you feel, I don't know, you feel like you've made some kind of impact on people emotionally, which is for me such a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I love it. And what do you enjoy the most about the whole process of bringing a character to life?
Oh my gosh. That's hard. I think definitely the empathizing is something that I find interesting. Because even with good characters, not everyone is perfect. They make mistakes. I love, depending on what kind of role it is, I do love to sort of write a little bit about them or from their perspective, because I think as much as I don't think it's necessary to for me to always write like a backstory and have like this whole long thing about who I think they are and why they've done what they've done, it's not necessary for every character, every role. I do think if there's something to be said about just like sitting down and like writing a page or two about who I am as that character. So like, yesterday I did this and I did this and that, whatever, and just sort of like getting into that mindset and like really trying to see through their lens, that's really fun for me. Yeah. And obviously I love that like initial, if you're in a scene with another person, I love that initial meetup where you like come together, you sit down, you go through the script, you like give each other like feedback on what you think you both should be doing and how you think the scene should go. I think that that initial like collaboration is super fun. I
Yeah,
love that.
absolutely. Yeah, and
Yeah.
as you mentioned, like the whole connection you are creating, you know, with the other person who is gonna, you know, who you're gonna play that scene. And that's also
Yeah.
amazing when you find like that connection and you present it to the audience, even, you know, on a play, or even, you know, if you're watching it on your house or in theater, the fact that you can totally feel that, you know, it's I mean, it's incredible like how us humans sometimes like we can feel a connect, you know, we can feel like a connection like between people here and there, you know. And it
Yeah.
makes, at least to me, like whenever that happens, it makes like the story like more important somehow, you know what I mean? Like you actually care about the characters now that if at some point someone died, you know, you actually feel devastated, you know, you actually crying. And perhaps for some people might be like, oh, like that's why are you crying, you know, or things like that. But I
Yeah.
find that amazing when a production gets the chance to actually made you like pull out those feelings for you, you know, because they're real at the end of the day, so.
Yeah, they are real, and I think that that's, at least from my perspective, that's the whole point of why we do what we do. We're trying to pull those emotions out of people. We're trying to make people feel something. If you watch a TV show or a movie and you feel nothing, I don't know if that's a great, I don't know if that's great. I feel like we should be going, and even if you read a book, you want to feel something, like you really you emotions are so important. I mean, that's literally who we are. We are a bag of emotions, humans
Totally,
are.
totally,
So,
totally.
when you're watching something, you don't want to just sit there and spend an hour and a half feeling nothing. What's the point? Yeah.
And
Yeah.
now that we mentioned that, what would be your top five of films that make you feel either made you cry, made you angry, or just made you like super happy and start laughing?
Oh my gosh. I love one of my favorite movie, well, my favorite director, one of my favorite directors is Wes Anderson. I love his films. They're beautiful. I love the writing. So one of my favorite movies is Moonrise Kingdom, which is, it makes me just feel so happy and so depressed and like sad and hopeful and all an amalgamation of emotions. I love one movie that makes me feel very sad is Shawshank Redemption. That movie is something else, but a beautiful film. And then, I mean, there's this one movie that's not, no one knows. Like, it's not, no one would know it. It was filmed, a lot of it was filmed in my small town that I grew up in. But it's called Interstate 60. Yeah, no one's heard of it. But
No.
it's so funny and brilliant, and the writing and the monologues that the characters just spew off is James Marsden is in it. I don't know if you know of him, but yeah, anyway, it's I love that movie. So I don't know. I think, yeah, I like it goes all over the place for me, but those are like three that I love, love, love.
Yeah, and that's incredible because as we were saying, the fact that they actually made you feel real emotions. I mean, yes, you are seeing something that is not real, but what you're
Yeah.
feeling, it's real. So that is kind of the interesting thing that happens when you were, you know, in that when you're watching that. So,
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And tell me like how you continue to challenge yourself as a person, but at the same time grow as an actor.
Yeah. Well, I try to practice and do classes. I try to pick scripts, sorry, that are not just for like my age or my gender. Because I think there's something interesting about playing a role much older than you are or much younger than you are. It kind of like forces you to, again, try to figure out how this person might be feeling or thinking at a time that you either haven't experienced or have a while ago. Like playing, someone in their 50s or 60s, I have no experience, life experience like they do, but you can sort of try to imagine, maybe, again, back to the emotions, like, how would they be feeling in this with their life experience? Or like, is there something in my life that I have a lot of experience with that some people might not? Can I use how I feel about that to sort of like shift my mindset to like, I do have a lot of life experience? So it's interesting for me to try to do, to try to play characters that are older or younger, usually older, because it really does push me to shift my mindset and to shift even my body language. Like, how is my body moving in this scene? Because if I'm playing a 6-year-old, I'm not going to just be, you know, walking along all you know, limber and everything. So maybe I have like a bit of a limp, or like, you know, my shoulder's kind of sore because I was gardening, or, you know, like there's just really play with that in a way that, you know, if I'm playing a 20 year old, well, there I am. You know what I mean? Like that's easy. So it's that's really interesting to me. And I take a lot of classes to try to really push myself to grow. I think acting is like any sport. You just practice to be the best you can be, and you never stop. I just finished an improv program at Second City in Toronto, which was such an amazing experience. I grew so much, not just as an actor, but as a person. It really like made me much more confident than I ever thought I could be, which was wonderful for a lot of, you know, for acting obviously, but just for being a person in this world. And yeah, so I just try to really continue to hone my craft, continue to practice and practice and practice, and challenge myself in classes. And yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, and also I would assume, right, that for every character you get the chance to play, pieces of that will stick with you for the future, and perhaps like at some point when you're about to play another character, you could take pieces from your old one,
yes,
to kind of put pieces together and create something. That is amazing. That's badass. I love it. Now let's say that one day I call you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Now here's the thing: zero experience. So based on what you know and what you've been through, what do you think that it would be a good place for me to start?
Well, if you have absolutely no acting experience whatsoever, I would say get yourself in a class, because not only is that important, obviously, to learn the craft and the skills you'll need, you're going to make a community of people in the industry just from that. When I actually, a wonderful casting director, Jason Knight, I reached out to him when I moved to Toronto and was starting out my whole journey. And advice he gave me that I give to every new actor is, get yourself in a class, because those people are going to be your community. They're going to help you book things. They're going to be readers for scenes. They're going to maybe have a friend, a brother, a sister, and, you know, whomever that's a director or a producer or a writer. You know, small short films, indie films are really popular. A really good way to start acting, to start getting on set, to start learning how a set works. That's like the best gateway to start acting. And again, like, if you need support, if you need someone to lean on, if you need someone to understand what you're going through, the only other person that's going to get that to the same extent is another actor. Sure. So to have a community of actors or people in the industry is life-changing. It's been life-changing for me. I was at a mixer last night with a bunch of industry people, and now we're messaging, you know, like it is the best possible way to get into this industry and to survive this industry, because you cannot do it alone. So get yourself into a class would be my number one thing. And then get headshots, because that's, you know, you're going to need headshots. So yeah, get some good headshots, go to a headshot photographer. Do not go to just a random photographer, go to a headshot photographer. You need that, because they will help you with expression and with what, you know, you'll need a bunch of different looks. So they'll help you with all of that. So yeah, that would be my two things. And then if you feel ready, you feel comfortable, you feel like you could go on set and not be scared and be comfortable asking questions, then get an agent, because then, you know, then you can start doing some bigger auditions maybe.
There you go. So classes, community, headshots, agent.
Yes, in that order.
I'll tell you what, if I ever become an actor and I win an award at some point, I'm gonna be mentioning you in my thank you speech.
Oh, thank you.
Count on it, you know.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Now, what has been the most important lesson that you have learned through your acting career so far?
Probably that you, as much as it feels like we have no control over our career because we don't get to always decide if we get a part or whatever, you are in control. Like you get to choose your agent. You get like a lot of people have this idea that if they are with an agency, they've been chosen. And so they have to do whatever that agent says. But that person is working for you. That's like a big lesson I learned. I was with an agency that ended up having a huge scandal and was just like all over the news in Toronto. And it was a crazy thing. And they were stealing money from their clients. They weren't paying their clients. It was brutal. And they were reputable. They were known by all the casting and everything. And they got shut down and I lost representation almost as quickly as I had it. And that was like my first agent. So when I finally started interviewing new agents, my current agent, she was the one that told me like, I work for you. You need to know that. Like you are in control. If you feel like you're not getting the kinds of auditions that you want or you're not getting the right communication from me, tell me because that's the whole point. We're supposed to be in this together. And I think that that's something that's really important for younger actors or new actors to know of any age is like, man, don't worry about, trying to impress your agent. Obviously, be a good client to your agent,
Yeah, of
but
course.
they work for you. Like you make the money, right? You are the talent. So, be aware of what you bring to the table and be confident in that because that's gonna cultivate the best relationship with your agent. Yeah.
There you go.
That would be a big one. Yeah. And also, I found it's been very valuable to watch a lot of TV and movies. Like you should definitely watch a lot of TV and movies. That's something I realized really quickly. Like that's the only way you really figure out how to
No.
sort of do the right thing. So it's good to draw inspiration from. So that's a big lesson I've learned too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to take that into consideration, especially if you are starting out, that because you're starting out, you don't know anything about the whole, I mean, you're super naive. So it's important, right, to kind of be sure like where you're standing and not to be in the, on this part in which either they're taking advantage of you, or things like that.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
absolutely. Absolutely. It's important.
Now, what do you think it's the biggest misconception that people have about actors?
Oh, I mean, I
Hit
feel
it.
like, yeah. Oh, it's, well, there's like two sides to it because I feel like on one side, people assume that all actors are really wealthy and or like they make a lot of money, right? And like they're working all the time and they make a lot of money. And they, have a lot of success in it, or they think that they're all really poor and like the starving artist and they have no money and they don't work at all. And I think most actors actually fall like right in the middle of that, where they're working, somewhat consistently, maybe not, but they're making enough, to make ends meet, or maybe, they're not making a ton of money, but they have another job that supports them or whatever. But like there's 1% of people in this industry that make a lot of money. No one else is really making that much money. Most of us are just making like a livable wage or like a decent wage, but nothing crazy. And I think that's something like when the strike was happening in the US, I heard from so many people that are in Canada that were like, why are they striking? They make so much money. I'm like, no, they don't. They like, sure, there is a group of people that make a lot of money. They're celebrities, so of course, but most working actors do not have health care, do not have benefits. Like that's expense. Dental is expensive. Like it's not an easy industry by any capacity. And I think that's another kind of misconception that goes into that. It's like people think that it's an easy job and it's like the complete opposite. You are constantly being rejected. Like a lot of people don't fully grasp that concept. Like it is constant being told like no. And that can eat away at a person for sure. So I
Yeah, of
think,
course.
yeah, that's like probably the biggest for me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes being rejected.
No, it sucks.
It's horrible, and it's, and especially if they tell you we call you, or be like, good, yeah, we'll see you, and you'd be like, okay, and then you haven't heard anything from them. month, 2 months, and you're like, are they gonna send an email? And you're constantly
Yep.
checking your email. I know what you mean.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. And it's like you have to really detach yourself from projects too. Like when I've gotten some auditions that I'm like, I love this character, I have to play this character. And then you just, you never hear back, you don't get any feedback a lot of the time, and it's like, Jesus, like this sucks. Yeah, so you gotta have tough skin for sure, because the rejection is never gonna go away in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also, you were mentioning about the whole, actors that either they're super rich or they're super poor. Out of the 400 something actors that I've interviewed, none of them is rich. All of them are making it like 50-50. They're either having like multiple side jobs in their career, or they're focusing a straight yeah on their acting career, and they are making like a decent, a decent profit. But not like in a position in which like I'm gonna buy now a mansion and tomorrow a jet, and we're gonna spend vacation and a visa, things like that. So
No, it's a crazy, and I didn't realize how many people felt that way and believed that until the strike happened and people were talking about it. And I was like, no, like before the strike was over, a lot of these actors that were even really famous and have a lot of money, they weren't even making residuals on their work. That's crazy. They're the talent. They're the reason that anyone's watching it, So it was an interesting to me for sure. But yeah, I would say 90% of actors fall right in the middle of that.
Someone showed me the other day a check they receive in which the amount was 0.30 yeah 37 cents like that. And when they showed me that, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. No, it's like that. I'm not kidding. And you know what, I do think that perhaps sometimes it's kind of the blame, it's kind of on the media, the fact that they're showing, the awards, the red carpets, the premieres, like the glamour, so people would
For
tend
sure.
to think like, oh, so everybody's like that. But once you start to discover, or once you check a little bit about the backstory of that actor or actress, then you're like, oh, okay, so they've been acting for 20 something years. I get it, I get it.
No, and I do understand why people feel that way. I get it. Like, not everyone's in the industry. They obviously
Totally,
don't know.
totally.
You see all the glitz and the glam, and it makes total sense that people would feel that way. But yeah, I think we should definitely, most of us are not rich. So I do hope more people start to realize that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it happens. So, that's funny. Now, if you could give one word to describe the feeling you have when you step on stage or in front of the camera, which word would it be?
Probably just adrenaline. Truly, because that's the I'm especially, well, for on stage especially, because I feel the second that I'm like, the curtains are closed, we're on stage, we're ready to go, they're about to open, you can kind of hear like the crowd murmuring or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, okay, this is the moment, and like my adrenaline just spikes, and I just, it's like go 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 go. And then after, it's like I was saying, like you just feel like high on life, on the experience, on it all. And that's that, yeah. And I feel that way on camera too. Maybe a little bit more euphoric with the camera stuff, just because that's like a dream come true for me. So whenever
Totally.
I do get that opportunity, it's like I'm living my dream. This is amazing and incredible, and what a privilege and a gift. So yeah, that would
There
be
you go.
my two words.
Sounds like a plan. I love it. If your life were a sitcom, what would be the title? And who would play the fictional version of yourself?
Oh my gosh, if my life was a sitcom, maybe just go with it. Because I kind of, that's sort of my philosophy a little bit in life, is like kind of just roll with the punches, kind of go with the flow sort of energy I try to have for most of my life. And so yeah, I would say I'm the kind of person that can typically take what comes to them and process it pretty well. And yeah, just go with it. And to play me, I think I'll have to go with what a lot of people compare me to, which is probably Aubrey Plaza.
Interesting.
Yes, I get that a lot. I don't know why, because I don't really feel like we look very similar, but I think it might be the googly eyes, the big eyes that we both have. So yeah, I would say her. And I feel like she can play kind of like that, because I'm a little bit awkward sometimes and a little weird, I guess. Like, I don't know. I carry myself well, but I think like who I truly am is a little bit of a weirdo. So I feel like she could do it well. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are all weird
We
somehow.
are. We're all
Yeah.
weird. We're all weird. We just, some of us hide it better than others.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it just the way that it, or some people might get into situations in which you're like, why am I even here? But yeah, it's life, you know,
It's life.
everybody. Yeah, everybody's different, and you should enjoy it, you know, and yeah, learn from it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. Love it.
Oh,
Now, what would be the title of a film in which all of the characters you have played at the moment, they're all gonna gather to celebrate your birthday? What do you think
my
would be
God.
the best title for that film?
Oh, you know what? I think this is actually the name of a movie, but I would call it probably like Beautiful Minds, because I love the brain and the mindset of all of my characters, even the much less than perfect ones. I think I'm very fascinated by psychology in general, and so that's probably why I'm leaning more towards that aspect of my characters. But yeah, I would say like Beautiful Minds, because I think every brain is beautiful in its own capacity and makes everyone so unique. And I think that's something that I find really interesting about people in general, but also my characters. Like, I like the fact that people are all so different. I think that is so beautiful and so wonderful. And I think when I look at my characters, that's usually what I'm most drawn to is how their brain works. And I think it's all wonderful in their own way. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. Beautiful minds.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Now, what about describing your whole career? But you know what? This time on a drink.
Oh, on a drink. Oh, man. Maybe like an espresso, because it's very short right now and it ends pretty quickly.
Okay.
Like, I
Okay.
feel for me, I'm not anywhere near to where I want to be yet, and I am pretty new to a lot of it, like not to theater, but to TV
Totally.
and film. And so, yeah, I probably an espresso, because it's pretty short and sweet right now. But it's good when it happens. It's great. It's just, not super large or long. Yeah, if
Okay.
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll take it. And how should we call it?
The drink? Oh, short but sweet.
Short but sweet. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Epic, epic. And you know, like, what motivates you? You know, we all have those days that basically we just want to quit. It's inevitable, happens to all of us regardless on what we do. So how you manage to stay focused and positive on a difficult situation you are going through at that moment, let's say.
Yeah, I really try to remind myself of how I felt when I was like trying to get an agent so badly, or just trying to get an audition so badly, and now they're coming to me pretty easily and frequently. And I try to tell myself, like, listen, this has been your dream. You have to put the work in to watch that happen. For that to be reality, that needs to be your work and your effort. And even if I don't feel great in that moment, or I don't feel like doing something, I just like tell myself, like, this is if like 12-year-old Emma, who was sitting in her bedroom, like obsessing over acting and wanting to be an actor, was here right now, she would scream at you, because she would be like, you have what I've wanted for so long. Like, embrace that it's a privilege to get to do an audition. It's a privilege to get an audition. It really is. And I really try to remind myself of that when I'm feeling not so motivated. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put it, I mean, if you think about it, you were able to do the Olympics all by yourself.
Yeah. Come on.
You know?
You can do this. Yeah.
The sky is the limit, you know?
Exactly.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And like, what can we expect from you in the future?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm shooting a short film in Maryland in the US
Okay.
early year, so I'm excited for that. That will be great. I'm playing the leading lady in a rom-com. That should be fun. It'll be my first sort of film like that, which I'm really excited for. It's very sweet, which I like. It's cute. I like the character a lot. I can relate to her in a lot of different ways. So yeah, that's what's on my forefront right now. Hopefully more films in the future, hopefully some more short films, some indie films, and then maybe a feature soon.
We'll see. I love it. And the last question. Super easy, so we can all relax after a couple of set difficult questions here and there. Tell me,
Yes.
what do you think that could be the best title for this episode?
Oh. I guess like never stop dreaming. Never
Never stop
stop
dreaming.
dreaming. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because that's gonna be the title for it, so
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. Well, I
whatever.
think that's good for me because I never stopped. I've known I wanted to be an actor since I was, a tiny person, and I still want it so badly, and I probably always will. So yeah, never stop dreaming.
There you go. I mean, and you're making it happen, you know? I
Yes.
mean, of course that it's gonna take time. And I think that is also one of the things that perhaps people now, I mean, these days, they tend to feel like a little bit discouraged because they forget the part about it's gonna take time. It's gonna take moments in which you're gonna feel at your highest and you're gonna feel at your lowest. But that's just, I think, part of the whole experience and also kind of the, yeah, I mean, at least that's how I take it, that those type of moments, I take them as challenges, you know? On life, trying to telling you, are you sure you want to continue or you want to go the other way, you know?
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
yeah, so it's incredible what you're making happen. I mean of course it's inevitable that one day we're gonna be talking about the multiple thousands projects you've been here. I mean, come on, inevitable, that's gonna happen. But and as I said before, I mean, the fact that you're loving it, you know, as simple and cliche as it may sound, we all know that doing something that makes you happy, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it is.
100%, you know,
Yeah, you
but
obsess over it.
you're achieving it, you're making progress, you're showing everybody that hey, it is possible, just stay focused, and no matter how difficult the situation might be at some point, which it happens, just remember, as you mentioned, remember like where, like all of the moments that took you where you are right now, and as you said before, like what would the 10-year-old version of yourself would say to you right now, because you're actually
Yeah.
making something, you know what I mean? So I think that is
Absolutely.
something that we should take into consideration more, right? Like the whole perspective and the whole like more grateful of, you know, of
Yes,
what we're spending right
absolutely.
now. So
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
there you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, at the end, what can I say here? Keep killing it, keep rocking. I do want to thank also those who stayed the whole episode. Thank you so much. Now, in the description below, as I said at the beginning, you're gonna find all of Emma's social media. Now we found out why she's a total badass, so let's follow her and let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Emma. And again, Emma, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep killing it out there, keep rocking, keep shining, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.